Hello, and thanks for being with us here on the New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. On the New Life Show, every time we're trying to learn from Dr. Lightman, what is the code of the new life? How should we treat each other in order to really feel something new, gladdening, good, happy between us? And every time we take a topic or some concept from life and delve into it, and today we have a super concept, heaven and hell. We'll try to scrutinize what is that with respect to the new life. Yael, please. So, according to different religions, heaven is the place that all the righteous make it to, the good place, and hell is the place where the souls of the sinners go to. It's a place that's depicted in many places as something with blazing fires, burning place, a very negative place. This is something common for everyone, where the bad deeds increase your chances of finding yourself in hell, and good deeds increase your chances of eventually finding yourself in heaven. In Catholic Christianity, there is another place between heaven and hell, which is called purgatorium. That's where the souls that will eventually go to heaven find themselves. They have to go through some temporary suffering there, as opposed to hell, where the suffering is eternal. So people from different religions believe that eventually man makes it to heaven or hell after he dies. Is it true? Is it so? Just like there's no, I don't know how to put this, there's no other place than what a person feels. Where is that place of heaven or hell? You're saying that they reach that place. Where is that place? Maybe someone thinks that it's on the backside of the moon, but we already pictured it. We were there. So where is that place where heaven and hell are? Many people believe that it's beneath the surface, underground. Meaning we bury a person and then he's... No, you bury him 1 meter under the ground. The meaning is probably deep inside. That's where hell is. Heaven is somewhere above. Okay, when we open the grave, suppose, we see that we have bones left there and so on. No, probably we're referring to a person's spirit, not the skeleton. Where is the spirit supposed to be? Where is it supposed to go? I don't know. There are different perceptions about it. How could it be in the depth of earth and spirit? If you're talking about spirit, then it's something that doesn't exactly have a place. It's like air. It's like something. And suddenly you say that it's the side. I'm not sure where it is. Some people say that it's inside the ground. Some say that it's in the heaven, in the skies, that there you have the good section, the bad section. You come to a T-junction, you're a good fellow or a bad fellow, turn right or left. There's also this kind of conception. So choose, I don't know, deep in the ground or wherever the location less bothers me, to tell you the truth. But what bothers a person is at the T-junction, is he going to the right where the good guys are or to the left where the bad guys are? And if you don't have either, that's the question exactly. What happens then? Okay, so let's talk briefly, because these are really big things. If we're talking about a person, the way he was born and brought up in society, and he comes out like out of the oven at the age of 20, suppose, after he was born with the genes that he has and the education which he did not choose, then he's an adult now, and he's not responsible for himself. He was taught, inflated by different values, different forms of relations, an attitude towards this, towards that, society, keeps him, formed him. Everything that he does, it's from something that he has received before, either from nature, that this is how he was born, or from society in which he was later educated. Meaning, you can't really come afterwards and say something to a person for what he does, because everything that he does in life later on is very deterministic, very clear-cut, that each and everything, whatever he does it because he either got it from nature or he got it from his environment, the environment that he was brought up and raised in. So what do we want from a person? How can you then sentence him to heaven or hell? Even if he's an educated, understanding, sensing person, but he's operating according to those inclinations, qualities, values that he got from the environment, from his family, from what he was told about what heaven is, what he was told about what hell is. He also got all these concepts from them when he went to kindergarten and then to school and then to the university, and he watched television and the internet and everything. This shaped him as a person. What can we demand of that person? What? If it's truly a just trial, deep trial, we see that it's just a body which was inflated with different programs, values, morals, and this is how he behaves. So is it him behaving this way? No, he's merely a result of nature and the environment. If so, what heaven, what hell then can there be that's awaiting him? Neither. He never in his life did he perform any action that you can say that belongs net to that person. What do you mean? We have a person who's considered to be a righteous person. I don't know who's righteous or not. I'm just saying that no person performs any action which is free, that comes out of free choice and that can be ascribed to him. It's very hard for a person to understand what you're saying. I'm not saying if it's hard or easy. I'm saying that this is the simple, healthy law of things, the absolute ideal law, that this is how it is. That a person wants or doesn't want to agree with it, that's something else. I just want to understand this law a second. If I grew up in this environment that you were talking about with television and culture and more or less the same education, suppose we grew up in the same neighborhood. My next door neighbor who grew up in the same neighborhood and so on, he became a murderer. He harms society. He does bad things. Based on what? Based on decisions that he made at a certain point. Who made? Based on what did he take these decisions? His character and his education, right? Character and education. Did he choose his character? No. Education? No. What then? So the decisions aren't his either. Yeah, but in the meantime, this person, suppose he relates to his son or his wife or to a stranger. He relates according to his education, according to his character. So how is it that two people grew up in the same home? Because they're different. They got different genes from birth, and also they were brought up differently. He was he watched these TV channels and the other watched other TV channels, and maybe by chance, as if by chance, he was turned in that direction, this one was turned in another direction. The parents, the environment, his impression, you can say that it was the Holy Ghost from above, that one was directed this way, another was directed that way. But of course, he does not determine anything himself. And if so, please tell me, what is there in a person that's completely free, completely independent, by which suddenly he decides? A person feels that he does decide. I don't want to relate to what a person feels, because he is deaf, blind, he knows nothing about life. That it seems to him that that's how it is, fine. So it seems to him, a baby, when I leave him in his room, it seems to him that he's free now. But I know that he isn't. That it seems to a person that he's free and that he determines, decides something. True. The whole of humanity thinks so too. And when a person's brought to trial and he's being punished, then how come you punish him? Why? He can say, what do you want? Was I asked to be born? No. Was I asked to be born with these qualities? No. To be educated in this way? No. To be brought to a place where I become a criminal? No. When I'm already a criminal, as a result of all my previous inclinations, all of my previous education and so on, so you come to me and you say suddenly, suddenly you demand something from me and punish me. I'm punishing you, your society, the judge. Why aren't you judging society? Why aren't you arranging society in a way that it doesn't make people like me? And also later, when he's put into prison and he comes out, and again, he commits some crime. So why is he put again into prison a second time? The judge has to be put into prison because the judge, by putting him in prison, he as if promises that by that, the person will improve. And if the person does not improve, that the judge is responsible, not the person. Why does the person have to go to prison again? The judge. A person, man, who is he all in all? The way you bring him up, this is what he is. Meaning, we are a terrible society. A society of villains. We're demanding of a person to perform good and nice actions, even though that we brought him to perform bad things. So no one is personally responsible for anything that they do? No, only society is to blame. And only society is responsible. And how do you correct someone's deeds? Only by a good society, by a good environment, because a person is a result of his environment. Even if the genes that he got are, you know, there, but all those things that he got as genes, they still don't have a depiction. They don't have a complete character. He could be good or bad in that respect. Can he influence any of these things? To influence himself, he can't. He does not determine good or bad. Only the environment does. I was born with a tendency to play cards. I can play cards with felons and so on, cheat people. I can play cards, show different card tricks in a theater or in a circus. Doesn't matter. You can make anything into something good or bad. So what is that depiction that we're given in all the religions and everything of heaven and hell? It doesn't just exist in one culture or religion. It's cross-platform. What is it for? Why was it created? Because just like we have built a penal system, the very same way we have to show a person that it's not enough that you're suffering here, but you'll suffer later on if you'll be a bad kid. After our bodily death, there's no heaven or hell. Heaven and hell are those states that a person has to go through in order to bring himself to the corrected state. And it's right here and now in this life something that he mentally has to feel. Can you explain what does it mean, those states that he has to reach in this life? What is hell in this life and heaven in this life? I stole something from someone. Now I'm in a state where I have enough money. What I stole is enough for the rest of my life. I buy myself a yacht, an island in the ocean. I build a castle. I invite friends. I have a wild time. Heaven, right? Heaven. Good. And maybe. After I did that, I started understanding, without any direct relation to the punishment, like I'm told, that by doing that, I harmed many people, that maybe because of that, many people are suffering. Suppose some bank went bankrupt and can't pay the pension to thousands of people, and he can't return millions of people. They're more, I don't know what. And then I feel that I'm in hell. I'm beating myself up, so to speak, and my state is considered hell. Now, if you're saying that our society is what shapes us, the kindergarten, society, our character is what shapes us eventually to behave one way or another. So, how does heaven or hell have any meaning in our life? In our life here, we're also managed by the same forces that you talked about previously. So what? Only a person has to depict these states of heaven or hell for himself, and not that someone in this world forms a respectful or shameful life for him. How can he disconnect from that external influence and create an inner world of his own? He can't. Therefore, a person who's inclined to the truth, he reaches a special society, and there he starts developing himself anew. And in that society, what is heaven and what is hell? Bestowing to others is heaven, and aiming for my own benefit is hell. Why aiming for one's own benefit is hell? Because this separates him from heaven. Okay, what is it about heaven? What is there that I really want to get there? A place, it means a desire, that in that desire I'm aimed at bestowing to others, I'm included in others, I live in society. This feeling for me is heaven. Why is it that good? What's so good about it? It has to be better than the other state. Because first of all, I'm not talking about ordinary people that examine what is so good for me, but I examine it by the discernments of good and bad that come from my correction, from my change. What do you mean by correction? Correction meaning that I'm starting to appreciate the value of bestowal, of love for others, inclusion with the environment as the highest value. Highest value. And it's the complete opposite to the values of an ordinary person in this world. And you can't explain how is it good. Because what's good, he feels in his egoistic desire. So why would a person make this change and go to that special society if he won't feel, if you don't promise him in advance or give him a certain feeling? I can't promise him. I can not promise him, miss, because he will no longer receive in those vessels that I promise him. He won't perceive the matter of good or bad the way he feels it right now, the way he perceives it right now. If I decide to go right or left, you're not deciding. Who does? Going in the other direction, meaning in for the benefit of others, to go to the true love another as thyself, you don't decide on it. But there are special genes that awaken in you called reshimot in Hebrew from the word roshim, impression, that exist in you, and they start determining your actions, and you're starting to move in the direction of bestowing to others. Why? In the meantime, you're advanced by the crisis, by feeling bad in your life, that your life also becomes a small kind of hell, and you're getting closer to it. But it's not that you choose, but the genes, they're the ones that work. Suddenly, in the midst of life, you start understanding that everything that you're doing is worthless. And then I'm drawn to that place that you call heaven. I want to leave that place where I am right now that I consider as hell. When that thing starts developing in me and starts calling me in the direction of heaven and to leave the hell. This is the process? Yeah. So, going back to our life, What is hell in our life right now, the way you see it? In not seeing the other life, the outer body life. Outer body meaning that I'm directed at seeing the benefit not inside my body, but outside of my body. Outside of my body, there is the great broad world that if I relate to it as to myself, then it becomes my soul. It becomes my soul entirely. Who? The external world. What's outside of me? Outside my skin. And that's heaven? Wait a second. And if I find contentment in bestowing to that external world, or in other words, I fulfill my soul, then that state is called heaven. What does a person have to do in order to reach that place? If the reshimo, meaning a certain inclination towards that, awakens in him, then he comes to us and he gets guidance from our ancient, authentic books, which is the true Torah, the Torah of truth, and that's how he advances. One more aspect. On our previous show, you described heaven as a state of tranquility that is a result of all the individuals functioning as one mechanism in the ideal society. No, I'm saying that this is the ideal society, but in a person's particular feeling of heaven, this is how he relates to everyone. He gets contentment from it. This is the individual. Yes, but the ideal society is that where everyone treats each other that way. Okay, so here, on Earth, the way you see it, we can build a society in which we will feel heaven. Not that it's possible, but we have to do it according to the general plan of nature. Can you describe the life in a society that feels that they're in heaven? As it says, there's nothing new under the sun. Everything is as it is. Only what changes is, in Hebrew it's called the change of malchuyot, of controls. You change what's in control. What's in control of each and every one of us right now is the will to receive, the ego. What will be in control of each one of us is the will to bestow. What is that? It's the desire to benefit everyone. This is what turns the life in such a society into heaven, where everyone wants to benefit everyone else. Exactly. And then they'll feel that which they have not yet corrected is for them hell, and they'll invert that feeling by correction into heaven. They'll know how to differentiate heaven from hell. Of course, it's their inner feeling. So if I understand, the concepts of heaven and hell are constantly updated for those people that want to build a society that will operate as one mechanism. It's 125 degrees in which we correct ourselves towards the environment, towards the great world outside of us. So on each and every level, there's the feeling of heaven, hell, heaven, hell. Okay, going back a bit. Regarding this kind of society where each individual wants to benefit everyone else, this is what we consider as heaven, a society where everyone wants to benefit everyone else. Yes. So what is hell? Where a person feels that he has the desire to only benefit himself, and he feels how bad it is, how immoral it is, how that it's against the plan of creation, that he really suffers as a result. He feels shame, a burning fire. This is called the fire of hell. It's the great shame that he feels for his qualities that he did not correct yet. Why is he ashamed? Today, people, they steal, they rape, they murder, without a shred of shame. Why does that person feel shame? Because inside of him, there are two discernments that awaken. What he does and what he's actually supposed to do. Supposed to do is that state, the ideal state of heaven? Yes. So what is our society lacking today? Shame. Shame of what? Shame of what it really has to be. What does our society have to be? And mutual bestowal, mutual guarantee, connection, brotherly love, love of others. That's it. All in all, love another as thyself. That's the rule. So what are we lacking? We lack the feeling of the depiction of heaven and hell. The two. Hell, there are those that are saying that what's today? No. People say. So what are we lacking? The recognition of good and the recognition of evil, one against the other. This is what we're lacking. We're neither this nor that. We have to see the truth and lie and where you are for it to really burn you with a fire of hell, and you'll simply run from there to a state of bestowal and love of others, and you'll enter heaven. Last question. Do you believe that we can build a heaven here? We have no choice. The only question is how much time, efforts, and suffering will it cost us. But it'll happen, for sure. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, yeah. Thanks for being with us. Till next time. You got some color back in your cheeks. Yeah, heaven's right ahead. Thank you very much. Till next time, all the best.